If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to Psalm 107. We're going to read the first three verses, and then we'll refer to other parts of the psalm as we work through it together today. This is a psalm most likely expressing praise to God and thanksgiving to Him for bringing Judah out of exile. And there are a whole variety of reasons why Old Testament scholars think that. Verse 3 especially is one of the reasons that prompts Old Testament scholars to view this psalm in relation to the return from exile. He's gathered them in from the lands, from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west. And so this song is a song of thanksgiving to God for His redemption, for His regathering the people of God and bringing them back home. And it tells something very important to us. So let's look to God in prayer and then ask His help and blessing as we read His Word. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your Word is truth, and Your truth is the way You sanctify us. It's the way You make us godly. It's the way You conform us to Christ. It's the way You restore Your image to its fullness in us. So speak, Lord, by Your word of truth, Your servants listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the word of God. Hear it in Psalm 107, beginning in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Amen. And thus far, this reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word, may He write its eternal truth upon all our hearts. Now, this psalm is a call for the redeemed to give thanks to God, most likely in the wake of their return from the exile. And it's interesting, isn't it, how often we find in the psalms exhortations to thanksgiving. William Plummer, who I always try and read when I'm studying the Psalms, says this about Psalm 107, verse 1, and I'm paraphrasing. Go read him. It'll be better than my paraphrase. But it goes something like this. If the frequency with which the psalmist exhorts us to be thankful and our reluctance to be thankful is any indication of the importance of these exhortations for us to be thankful, then they are very important indeed. And I think that's true. Isn't it interesting how often God has to exhort us to be thankful? And I think there are reasons for that. I think that we have a constant battle with gratitude in the Christian life. And very frankly, there are lots of reasons underneath that. For some of us, there is an ongoing battle with a sense of entitlement. We think God owes us something. We think that when something's going wrong in our life, that's an indication that God's got something to account for, and He better show up quick because we're going to call Him on the carpet. It's very interesting. When I was in Indonesia, in Papua, the missionaries were telling me that one of the things that is very difficult for them to communicate to the Moy people is grace, because the Moy people have this understanding that if somebody has more than them, they are owed something by that person who has more than them. That person is under obligation to give them certain things. And so the idea that they struggle with is that the Creator God owes them. Well, if you think God owes you, you're going to have a hard time being grateful for His mercy and grace. So some of us struggle with a sense of entitlement and presumption. Others of us are fighting against our own temperaments. You know, we may have temperaments that are inclined to ingratitude. Or Some of us may be struggling with very hard circumstances, circumstances that are so difficult, maybe even especially in their duration, that it begins to rob us from a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. And so the psalmist begins this psalm with an exhortation to thanksgiving. And by the way, that's something for us to think about for a minute. Isn't it interesting that this psalm, as God-centered as it is, as focused as it is on God's goodness and on God's loving kindness, begins not vertically focusing our attention on God, but horizontally with one part of the congregation exhorting the other to be thankful. Notice how it begins. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Who is that directed to? It's not directed at God. It's directed at other believers. Notice how often the Psalms do that. It's us saying to us, give thanks to God. Brothers and sisters, be grateful. Show Him praise. Give Him thanks for His mercy. That reminds us we need one another. It's one of the reasons we need together Lord's Day after Lord's Day. And it's one of the reasons it's so good for us in the midst of theological study together in chapel. We need to exhort one another to thanksgiving. Very often in my life, when I am in a period of ingratitude, it will be my brothers and my sisters that shake me out of that ingratitude. I am especially struck and helped when I see brothers and sisters that are going through hard times and they're still grateful. It moves me to be grateful to God as I see their gratitude when they're struggling with great things. So we need one another, brothers and sisters. It's important for us to gather together Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and it's important for us to gather in chapel because we need to exhort one another to thanksgiving and gratitude. And let me just say before we go any further, one way that we can see that William Plummer is right, that this is a matter of great importance, is to look at the end of Romans 11. Would you turn with me there just very briefly? Isn't it interesting that Psalm 107 is in part an exhortation to give thanks to God, to be grateful to Him because of His loving kindness, the covenant love that He has shown to the people of God in bringing them out of exile, in giving them redemption, in showing them mercy, in showing them grace that they do not deserve. And look at the end of Romans chapter 11. I won't read the whole of it, but look beginning in verse 32, for God has consigned all to disobedience that He may have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, how inscrutable His ways, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to Him be glory forever. So, however you read what Paul is saying from Romans 8:32 on, he at least says this, our apprehension of the undeserved mercy of God to us moves us to doxology. It's the realization of God's mercy that moves us to doxology. So what's at stake in your gratitude? The glory of God! You're created, you were made to live for God's glory. Your chief end is the glory of God. The glory of God is at stake in your gratitude, in my gratitude. When we are ungrateful, when we are ingrates, we are not giving God the glory that is due to His name. And so the Apostle Paul at the end of Romans 11 reminds you what's at stake here in Psalm 107. What's at stake in you heeding this exhortation? Now, wonderfully, the psalmist just doesn't say to you, be grateful. You know, his pastoral counsel is a little more sophisticated than that. He doesn't just say, be grateful. He gives you reasons why. And notice in particular, he zeroes in on three things. He zeroes in on God's goodness. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. And that goodness is especially expressed in His providence. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His loving kindness is everlasting, or His steadfast love endures forever. So he's thankful for God's goodness in His providence, and he is thankful for God's mercy in His loving kindness. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. So who God is good. God's sovereign providence over us, God's covenant love for us. And then in verses 4 to 32, notice that he gives you several pictures of the way that this plays out. In verses 4 to 9, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. And so he comments on how God in his mercy redeemed them from isolation. And he delivered them from desolation and from uninhabited spaces into inhabited spaces. And he thanks God for that. Do you ever pause to thank God for that? Dr. Wyman, would you come back to the piano? Would you take out your hymnals and let's turn to a few hymn verses that celebrate some of the themes in this psalm. Turn to 457. Turn to 457. And look at the last stanza. We're going to sing this psalm at the end of our time together, but just look at the last stanza and let's sing that one.
Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Have you been ever been saved from wandering? Have you been wandering and the Lord brought you home? That's a reason to give thanks to Him. It's a reason to be grateful to Him. That's what Robert Robinson is singing about in that hymn. Well, let's look at the next thing. Look at verses 10 to 16. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in afflictions and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Are you beginning to see a pattern? You know, they get in a tough spot, and then what do they do? They cry to the Lord for help, and what does He do? He shows up, and He delivers them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and out of the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. My guess is many of you know exactly where I'm going to turn in the hymnal. Turn back to number 455. In 455, look at the fourth stanza and let's sing it.
Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
There again, the psalmist is thanking God that he set him free. He was in bondage. He was in bondage to his sins, but the Lord set him free. His eye diffused a quickening ray and woke him from the darkness of death and brought him back again. And so it moves him to thanksgiving and praise. Well, here's another one. Look at verses 17 to 22. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And he sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. So they are sick because of their sin, and he restores them. So turn with me to number 468. And look at verse 4, stanza 4 of 468.
My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
And then there's a fourth scene. The scene switches again, and you see in verses 23 to 32 what the picture is. Very appropriate with a naval officer here recruiting for chaplaincy. Some went down into the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And if you'd turn with me to number 601, this one deserves at least two hymns. 601, and look at the first stanza.
Jesus, save your pilot me, or life's tempest is just sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, save your pilot me.
And then back to 498, and look at stanzas 3 and 4.
Jesus, what a help in sorrow, while tempest still in all, even when my heart is breaking, hey, my comfort helps my soul. What a guide and keeper, while the tempest still is nigh. Storms about me night o'ertakes me, he, my pilot, hears my cry.
And then in verses 33, down almost to the end of the psalm, he turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in it. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield by his blessing. They multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. And so there's a testimony to his sovereign providence over his people, even in the barren wastelands. And we sing about that in 598. Let's sing the first two stanzas of Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, hide me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all thy journey through. Strong deliver, strong deliver, hide not still my strength and shield. Thou still thy strength and shield.
So, your exhortation to one another to be grateful to God for His goodness, His sovereign providence, His covenant love and mercy is of great advantage to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we ought to be conscious to give one another reasons to be grateful to God, whether it's because He's brought us back in our wandering, or because He has set us free from our captivity, or because He has healed us in our sickness, or He has watched over us in our storm-tossed state, or in His sovereign providence, He's led us through the wilderness. Now, our hymn book can help us do that, actually. It can help us turn those things into praises and gratitude to God. But so can the testimony that you give to one another. We realize now that what's at stake in our gratitude is the glory of God. And we want to show God's glory in the gratitude that we express together. Let's pray, and then we'll sing again and show God praise. Heavenly Father, thank you for this psalm and the way it exhorts us to give thanks to you because of your goodness, because of your providence over us, because of your covenant love to us in bringing us back from our wandering and the death of sin. Help us to be a grateful people and to encourage one another in gratitude. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.